Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Federation. With us today is Advocate Kurt Kondrich. Welcome, Kurt.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me on today, and thanks for all the priceless work you do at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation to defend and protect our most innocent children.
Thank you so much, Kurt. I greatly appreciate that. Now, to get started, can you tell our listeners what is a dadvocate and why did you decide to pursue that path?
Sure. A dadvocate is a name I got the name from a gentleman down south. I saw him using it. He allowed me to use it. It's a dad who advocates for his kids. And as a police officer, my mission was always to defend and protect, especially the most innocent and vulnerable. And after my daughter Chloe was born in 2003 with a Down syndrome diagnosis, and I learned that upwards of 90% plus of these children were being identified, targeted, and basically given a prenatal death sentence with no due process, I decided to change my path in life and become a dadvocate and make sure that I made it my mission to defend and protect these children and ensure that this silent eugenic movement came to an end.
Your daughter, Chloe, who has Down syndrome, recently marked a milestone birthday. What is her life like today?
Absolutely. It's amazing. Chloe turned 19 this month, and I can honestly say she's planted more positive seeds in our culture and community than most people do in a long lifetime. She's a very busy young lady. She's active in the community, school, with advocacy. We recently advocated for some legislation in West Virginia. She's been all over the country, all over the world, really, United Nations and that. So she's had an amazing life. And our focus has always been on her abilities, not on her diagnosed disability. And she's just a blessing, and she's a treasure to anybody she comes in contact with.
As you mentioned, you and Chloe played a role in passing pro-life legislation in West Virginia. Tell me what that experience was like.
Sure. Chloe and I spoke at the West Virginia Right to Life convention last fall. We had met the amazing people from West Virginians for Life when we spoke in Charleston, South Carolina at the National Right to Life convention back in 2019. They asked us to be their keynotes last year. And when we spoke there, they said they were working on legislation in West Virginia that would ban aborting a child with Down syndrome based on a prenatal diagnosis. And Chloe and I offered our services and said we would help them to advocate for this legislation and come down to the Capitol. And we did just that. We made several trips, probably half dozen trips to the Capitol, spoke at their pro-life rally day at the Capitol, met legislators and the people who were the key people for passing this legislation, and connected with Kayla Kessinger, who was the driving force in the House down there. And we met there, were introduced on the floor. Chloe gave some of her books out to people, signed them, and just put a face on what the legislation was all about. And sure enough, on March 21st, which is World Down Syndrome Day, because it marks the triplication of the 21st chromosome, Governor Justice in West Virginia, they passed the law in the legislature with only like 5 minutes left in the session. It was 5 to midnight when they passed the legislation, and Governor Justice signed it on March 21st, World Down Syndrome Day, and Chloe and our family was there, and the governor gave Chloe one of the pens used to sign and a copy of the law. And I tell people it was one of the best days ever in our life, in our advocacy. And the legislation down there is the Down Syndrome Protection and Education Act. So not only does it ban aborting children with Down syndrome, but it also provides the supports and services and resources so these people can have a good life. And I like to tell people it's not just a pro-birth legislation, it's pro-life from the moment of conception. It protects the child and ensures that the individual, as they grow up with Down syndrome, can have a good life.
If you had a chance to talk to the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, what would you say?
I would remind them that, you know, that our nation is one nation under God, and defending and protecting our most vulnerable citizens, our most vulnerable children, is core to our nation surviving. And, you know, when people often talk about the science, well, the science is clear that a child in the womb is a unique individual child. You know, that child is a person, is a human being. You know, we have babies being born that weigh less than a pound who grow up to be, you know, fine and everything. But the science shows that these are people, these are human beings, that in the womb from the moment of conception, this is a human being with unique DNA, unique makeup, and as the highest court in the land, they have a duty and responsibility to ensure that these children are given the protections under our laws and ensure to have a good life here in the United States of America.
Do you believe the High Court will overturn Roe versus Wade?
I do believe they will, and based on the information that was leaked out, that it seems like they will. But what that means is it'll go back to the states. So I think what's going to happen in our country, there'll be a pretty big divide on what states are very pro-life and what states allow abortion. And I think that's going to cause a lot of tension and discourse in our country. But it's a time that we in the pro-life community need to make our voices louder. And like I said, and show the world and show the country that we're not just, like I said, pro-birth, that we're pro-life and that we're there for these mothers and these families and are getting the children here, but also ensuring that they have the protection and the services and the supports that they need to have a good life. So I think it will get overturned, but I think, like I said, it goes back. People understand it goes back to all 50 states where there's going to be a lot of things going on and probably just as high a need for advocacy as there is today.
Yes, I think that we're going to face some challenging times because I recently had the opportunity to speak with Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood director, whose life story was the basis of the movie Unplanned. And she said that we're going to face 50 different fights in the state legislatures. And so we're going to really have to up our game. I mean, it's going to become even more challenging than it already is.
I agree, and it's 50 different states, different backgrounds, different all kind of things going on. So I agree, we have to really be a united voice, to ensure that once this Roe v. Wade is overturned, it goes back to the states that we fight on it in each state to ensure that all children across this country are defended and protected from the moment of conception.
What is Pennsylvania's Chloe's Law, and why is it important?
Chloe's Law was something that I actually came up just with a legal pad. I was thinking about, when Chloe was born, we connected with families that had children with Down syndrome. And every single family that I spoke to, with no exception, told me that once they were given a Down syndrome prenatal diagnosis, they were encouraged and almost assumed that they were going to abort the child, terminate the child. So I just came up with the idea that, we ultimately want to have a ban, in Pennsylvania and across the country for children diagnosed with Down syndrome. But in Pennsylvania at the time, we came up with the Down syndrome. It's called the Down Syndrome Prenatal Education Act, so that when a woman and a family gets a prenatal diagnosis, instead of just being told to abort and terminate the child, they have to be given factual supportive information, uplifting information about the child's ability, about all the services available, for instance, early intervention, special ed, we have Miracle League. We have all kind of amazing things that individuals with Down syndrome can connect to in their communities and do, and that will ensure, that they can stay on track. I mean, my daughter was reading at age 3 thanks to early intervention. So this law is a way of doing that. Is I like to say, instead of just being given darkness about the diagnosis, it shines a light on it and allows people to have the good side and the positive things that they can connect to. And Chloe's Law also was passed in 2014, and Chloe actually signed it on the desk with Governor Corbett. Chloe's Law, I think, was one of the pieces of legislation to help get this debate going and allow people to understand what was going on in the Down syndrome community and why so few people with Down syndrome were not being born, and to address the silent eugenic movement against individuals with Down syndrome, and has led us to speaking all across the country.
And do you ever hear back from parents who have received a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome?
Yes, I mean, because awareness has come up, there are getting better information about the diagnosis, opposed to, like I said, Maria, before Chloe's Law and other pieces of legislation, it was just assumed a parent would abort this child, they terminated the child, they're practically just given the slip to do that. So I am hearing some positive stories, although we have a lot of work to still do. There still is a negative connection with having this diagnosis, and so that's why I really encourage parents when they have a child with Down syndrome to get the child out in the community, to let people see what a gift they are and to share positive stories and that, because that really helps people to, make the right decision when it comes to that prenatal diagnosis.
You and Chloe had an opportunity to speak at the United Nations. What did you talk about?
Back in 2016-2017, the medical one of the head medical people in the nation of Iceland proclaimed that they had cured Down syndrome up there, and they had cured it by basically eliminating all the children diagnosed prenatally of socialized medicine up there, and they said they cured it. So in 2017, Chloe and I, through an awesome organization called CFAM, were invited to speak at the United Nations with some other families about the gift of Down syndrome, and it was the Holy See, the Vatican, that sponsored us. So we spoke there in 2017, and I know we changed a lot of hearts because there were people in there who were very kind of against our pro-life positions. But when we got done articulating what was happening and asking the question, who's next as prenatal testing advances, the overwhelming majority of people actually came up on their picture with Chloe. We had a filmmaker from Italy make a global video about our advocacy, and it really changed a lot of hearts and really moved a lot of people from all over the world. Chloe actually have a picture of her standing in between the ambassador delegate from Saudi Arabia and Russia flashing a peace sign. So it really had an amazing impact to the point that we were asked to come back in 2018 and speak again, which we did, and it was a larger crowd and more advocates there. So I would say it was really awesome to be speaking to a global audience and to see people's hearts change and to show them the positive side of a person with Down syndrome. And like I said, so many people came up on their pictures, wanted to talk to Chloe and, you know, shake her hand and this and that. It was awesome, really awesome.
Explain why Times Square is important to Chloe.
Every year, the National Down Syndrome Society in October, which is Down Syndrome Awareness Month, has a contest where they get pictures of individuals with Down syndrome, all ages, out in the community, in schools, and their families doing, you know, just normal things and having fun. And they choose only a select amount of them from all the entries, and they put them on this video that's played on the big screen in Times Square. It's actually a double screen now. And families and people come up from all over the world, and there's, of course, people from New York City, where Times Square is a kind of a meeting place, a central meeting place, stand there and watch this video. And Chloe's picture has been chosen 5 times to be on there, and it's just been amazing to go up there. That picture of her with Cardinal Dolan, Vice President Pence, there's one of her playing baseball, one playing volleyball, and one when she was real little just reading under a tree. So we've had the joy of going up there and watching. I like to say that, you know, Times Square is a big light up there, shining light in the darkness, and seeing individuals with Down syndrome out in the community, you know, doing amazing things, really at one of the central places of our country, Times Square. So it'll always be a special place in our memories in that.
That's wonderful. You're listening to Lifelines Radio, produced by JMJ Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. We are speaking with Kurt Condrich, an advocate for people with disabilities. Kurt, you talked a little bit about Chloe playing sports. What sports stars has Chloe met over the years?
Chloe's met Albert Pujols, who's a future Hall of Famer. She's met Andrew McCutchen, a lot of the Pirates, Andy LaRoche, we paid here, Adam LaRoche. She's been down there warming up with the team. She's met Kevin Durant from the NBA and many other ones when she was, you know, at these different venues. And Chloe does love sports. She's a big Pirate fan, so being able to meet with them, Albert Pujols and his family have a Down syndrome foundation that does incredible things in the community, him and his Deidre Pujols. So it's just, she's connected with them, and I got to warm up with them. And also, it's, you know, sports are a big part of society that we live in today. So people seeing her out there with these sports people and doing things and playing is really, I think, had another great impact for people that do get a Down syndrome diagnosis to see the many abilities that our kids can do. As a matter of fact, I was just in the yard yesterday doing batting practice with Chloe, and she's a heck of a baseball player, to be honest with you. I think meeting the sports heroes has driven her to do that.
And there is also some great video of her playing golf.
Yes. Chloe actually has played out at Topgolf. That's all over the country. And I filmed it one time and said, that was last year, I said, Chloe would like to have her 18th birthday here. And I posted on social media, and it went so viral, I had like 130,000 views, that the president of Topgolf down in Florida saw it and called me and said they'd like to host Chloe's birthday. So last year for her 18th birthday, Topgolf here in Pittsburgh, amazing people out there, hosted Chloe's birthday, took care of everything, had a red carpet out for her. All the employees got together and sang, made signs for her, and it was magical. It was just like she was treated like a queen or a princess there. And so it's been fun to watch. And like I said, golf, like you said, Maria, golf's a big sport in America. And there's another young lady, I forget her name, who plays professional golf, who has Down syndrome. So, you know, there's no limits to what these individuals can do. And they just bring nothing but joy to the community and to their families and to everywhere they go, to be honest with you.
What musical artist has Chloe met?
Well, if you like Christian music, Chloe's met about every top Christian star across the country, from Toby Mac, Chris Tomlin, Switchfoot, Jamie Grace, Mandisa, you know, Francesca Bellastelli. She's been backstage, Big Daddy Weave, Jordan Felice. She went to lunch with him. She's met probably all the top stars in Christian music. She actually met the Chainsmokers, who are a pop group that are internationally known. I wrote to them because she likes a couple of their songs, and they invited her to meet them backstage, took pictures with her, and so she's had quite a life. I often tell parents, if you want to meet your kids and meet cool people, have them befriend Chloe and hang out with her, because she really has the inside track to a lot of neat things. And once again, it just shows, you know, puts a light on the darkness and shows people how awesome and amazing these individuals are.
And Chloe loves to dance.
She loves to dance. She was at a wedding this past weekend, and they had to actually pry her off the floor. She was at her brother's wedding last year with his awesome wife, Haley, and I don't think she stopped dancing for 4 hours. As a matter of fact, the DJ at her brother's wedding actually gave Chloe the board and the headphones and let her pick the music and play the music during the wedding. So she's a dance maniac and very difficult to keep up with. And she's really got really good moves, really good moves. So.
What public officials has Chloe gotten a chance to see?
Chloe was in the White House with the last president, President Trump, Vice President Pence. She's met several times, even introduced them to pro-life events. Her picture of Vice President Pence with Vice President Pence hung in the West Wing of the White House when they were in office. And actually, Chloe and I were invited to the Vice President's residence for Christmas in 2020. We went there for their Christmas party. She's met governors from all over the country, has been in state capitals, was good friends with Governor Corbett, actually signed Chloe's law on his desk when he did that. Governor Justice down in, like I said, West Virginia recently, gave her a pen. So she's met many members of Congress, Kathy McMorris Rogers out in Washington State, who heads the Down Syndrome Congressional Caucus, other members of Congress and state legislators, several, you know, members of the state legislators throughout the country. So she's had quite a life for a 19-year-old, and really has got to connect, you know, with a lot of people who make policy and really show them how important legislation is to protect individuals with Down syndrome.
And what is the reaction of these public officials to Chloe when they meet her?
I've seen them get emotional. I've seen some of them have tears in their eyes because they'd never... You know, when I talk to them, what's happening to individuals like Chloe, then they see her. It's almost like the Tiny Tim effect. If you remember that story, how Scrooge was hardened, but then when he saw Tiny Tim, he changed completely. I've seen a lot of public officials, like I said, get very emotional when they meet her and talk with her. What's really cool, Maria, is, you know, Chloe doesn't have any malice. She doesn't have any ulterior motives. She doesn't have any evil. I even wrote an article once that Adam and Eve had Down syndrome until the devil stole the extra chromosome. So when she's around a lot of people in high positions and that, I think they see that innocent and unconditional love and that purity. It's something that they don't get a glimpse of often. And, you know, and I think that's what really drives them. I feel like she haunts them, and she drives them to protecting people like her, and really, you know, just has that. It's a spiritual effect. I know it's a godly effect she has, and it's really, you know, made that type of difference. There's no, you can look at the statistics and look at numbers, but when you get to meet the person and look in their eye and shake their hand and have them read to you, and Chloe has a book that she's on and in called Brilliant Souls, and she signs and gives them a copy, that's what has the impact, and that's what really makes the difference. So that's why we go. When people call us and need us somewhere, we just go. We go where God sends us.
Why is the slogan "Embrace, Don't Erase Down Syndrome" so important?
That's a slogan I came up with once again late at night one night, and I just thought, you know, Chloe, she loves to be around people. She won't judge you based on anything. You know, she doesn't care what party you belong to, where you live, and she's not impressed by the car you drive. She will love you because you're a human being, and she will embrace you. You know, she likes to hug. She likes social interaction. So instead of erasing these individuals with the Down syndrome eugenic movement, I call it the prenatal testing death sentence, we need to embrace them because, you know, they bring nothing but joy and love to our society. You know, I don't, as a police officer for 20 years in three major cities, I never had a call with a person with Down syndrome committing any type of heinous or felonious acts or, you know, hurting somebody or purposely in committing malice. So they're individuals that we now more than ever with what's happening in our country and our world need to embrace and learn from them and not erase them because they don't meet the cultural mandate for unattainable perfection.
What has Chloe meant for your family?
She's a priceless gift. I often wonder what I did right when I do my nightly prayers to have a daughter like her. I feel extremely blessed and fortunate that God gave her to me. She's taught us core lessons about faith and love. My son, like I said, who recently was married to his wife, Haley, is the man he is because of his sister. I think of all the siblings that have missed out on this opportunity. And she's a gift. She's a gift from God. And like I said, she's one in a billion and just nothing. I often tell people, Marie, if I want to see somebody who's disabled and screwed up, I look in the mirror. My daughter's not disabled. When I'm on Judgment Day, I'm going to be jealous that I wasn't made like Chloe. I often kid people, she'll have a mansion in heaven. I'll sweep her driveway, and she'll be in the easy pass lane, and I'll be in the toll booth going through all my sins and brokenness. So it's just, you know, she's a blessing, nothing but a blessing.
What words of advice do you have for a couple who have received a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome?
I've met several couples that have, and I tell them, you know, congratulations first and foremost, and I encourage them to connect to the service and supports for families that focus on their abilities and to let them know that there's all kind of awesome things out there, and don't let anybody dissuade you or demean you or put you down. You'll find that when you have a child with Down syndrome, you'll find that quickly who your real friends are and who your real supports are. And that's a good thing, honestly. And I encourage people to take their kids out in the public, in the community, in restaurants, and just let people see their light and connect with them and realize that you are blessed to have a child like this.
I had an opportunity to speak recently to a reporter, and she asked me about the percentage of Down syndrome children who are aborted. And I did some research on the internet, and I found a figure of an estimate of 67% of children with a Down syndrome diagnosis are aborted. And yet, that figure came out in 2012, so that's been a decade ago. Do you think there's been any movement in that figure? Are we hearing any stories, or what's going on with that?
Unfortunately, Maria, the prenatal testing has gotten more easy, and they're really promoting it, despite the fact that we're making awareness. It used to be a little more complicated. Now it's a real simple blood draw test, and they're pushing it. A lot of medical people are pushing the prenatal test. So the 67% is about right, but it depends on what area of the country you're in. That's for the United States now, remember. It depends on what area of the country you're in. You know, it's a lower percentage in the, you know, Bible Belt areas and pro-life states, and it's a higher in the other, you know, areas that aren't as pro-life. And also, like I said, you know, Iceland has 100%. Iceland has gotten rid of over 90% plus of children with Down syndrome. In Europe, if you look at statistics over there, it's also around the 90%. Same with Australia, New Zealand, and that. So the numbers on a global level are much higher. But the fact that we're even at 70% for this nation, that's not acceptable. And like I've said this too before, Maria, you know, we have in 1973, we legalized killing our most innocent, vulnerable children, Roe v. Wade. And also in 1973, we criminalized killing our most innocent and vulnerable animals with the Endangered Species Act. And the Endangered Species Act prevents you from breaking an egg of an eagle or a turtle because they're endangered, which I agree with, but that's a prenatal animal. If you can't destroy a prenatal animal because they're endangered, well, then my argument would be, well, an individual like my daughter Chloe is endangered on a global level, so you should not be able to destroy her, terminate her prenatally. And, you know, because when you this identifying, targeting, terminating human beings who get this diagnosis because they don't meet a cultural mandate for unattainable perfection, it really does globally represent the ultimate extreme form of discrimination, prejudice, profiling, bigotry, intolerance, exclusion, and hatred. And it's something that none of us, no matter where we live, should tolerate.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and I'm wondering if there's a woman out there who is pregnant and she's just received word that her child might have Down syndrome, and she's worried that she will not be enough of a mother to handle that child's special needs, what would you say to her?
I would tell her one of the best things across this country are early intervention services. Every state has them. They're mandated to immediately connect with early intervention, and a lot of the cities and states have Down syndrome associations with made up families and advocates for that. And, you know, and you can connect with Chloe and I and our family. You know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. We have a website, embraceonyourrace.org. We would be happy to talk to you, and if you have any questions, and you know, my email is my, I'll just give it out. It's my name, kirkcondridge@gmail.com. I'd love to help anybody. I've sent books to people. I've talked to people. I've met with people. And, you know, once you get over the initial diagnosis and that, you know, just to focus on the abilities of moving forward, I've never met a person out there with who didn't have the right supports and services that wasn't able to have amazing things happen to them and their family and their child with the Down syndrome diagnosis.
We've got about a minute left. Can you tell me, what do you think the future holds for Chloe?
I think the future is going to be amazing, Riyadh. Maybe she'd run for office someday. I think she's a mover and a shaker. Chloe's 19. She's a young lady. I would tell people she's a very influential, powerful young lady, you know, who spreads. I think as we watch this country and this world go into darkness and all the insanity and depravity that's happening, I think as more people meet people like Chloe, the more they're going to be drawn to them. And I do believe they're the types of people that are going to change the course of the world for the better and hopefully drive us out of this darkness and into the light that God always intended us to be living in.
And I think one word to describe Chloe is inspirational. That's what she is to me. I mean, I can't look at her picture without smiling. She's a joy magnet.
That's a great world. Yeah, that's what she is to me. Like I said, I honestly don't know what I did right to have such an awesome daughter. So.
Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. And remember, there is always a reason to choose life. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good week.